Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big day, a big weekend of League Cup action. Holders Rangers take on St Johnstone at Hampden later, looking to bounce back from midweek disappointment. Before that, plenty of entertaining games, including Dundee against Airdrie, Falkirk Hearts, and then the rest join in tomorrow. Celtic taking on Hibs. The European representatives from Thursday, Kilmarnock and St Mirren, get involved as well. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this afternoon you have Gordon Deal, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Intriguing games among our feature matches. Falkirk Hearts might even lay claim to be game of the day. However, when they end, the drama begins, because will Philippe Clement pick a team that meets with the Rangers fans' approval as they prepare to defend the only trophy in the cabinet at Ibrox? And will the fans turn up at Hampden ready to express their disapproval over the way the club is going? We had a fan last night on Super Scoreboard who said that the remainder of the season meant there was no hope for Rangers. What a big day for Clement and that team.
Yeah, the League Cup's taken on a strange format in recent years, where the group stages are played in pre-season and then the next round is played in week three of the season. I wonder if some of these teams would just like to go on with their league season. But it throws up some intriguing fixtures, and on paper, some of them look simple. Aberdeen, Queen's Park, you think are simple, and then Dundee, Airdrie, Falkirk Hearts, a good one. Spartans, Ross County, Celtic, Hibs tomorrow. But Hugh's right, that Rangers, St Johnstone one, certainly intriguing. Usually it would be an easy win for Rangers, but the place that they're in at the minute, at Hampden, nothing's a certainty.
When you talk about cup football, you always look for a cup shock. And I think we'll get one somewhere today round about the grounds. And also, if you look down the leagues as well, in the Championship and further down, a lot of good football, a lot of good entertainment this afternoon.
I'll get you to pick your shock a bit later on. But Hugh, I think what's so fascinating about this cup is cup football is self-explanatory. The jeopardy is you can go out of the cup, yep, and that in itself is a failure. But when it comes at this stage in the season, it's so linked to everything else that's going on. If Rangers were to go out this afternoon, that's way more than just going out a cup. It's Hampden, it's Kiev, it's signings, it's Philippe Clement, it's everything. If Dundee were to go out at home to Airdrie, you've got the shock. Does it derail your start to the league season when Celtic get involved? Everyone's expecting them to go through. They didn't at this stage last season. It's about what it can do for you at this stage, yeah, of the season, positive and negative.
The bigger they come, the harder they fall. And at the moment, the post-mortem still goes on after Rangers' Dynamo Kiev. There's no point in focusing on a red card that shouldn't have been a red card. The fact of the matter is that Rangers' exit from the Champions League qualifiers meant a dramatic financial loss. And Philippe Clement has referenced that fact with the transfer window now a couple of weeks away from closing. So, for Rangers not to beat St Johnstone would be unthinkable. It would put pressure on Clement, who has lost, for the most part, I think, the trust of the Rangers fans. He cannot afford to lose that game. Now, St Johnstone went to Kilmarnock last weekend and wiped the floor with them. I know that it was 11v10 for most of the game. However, they have strikers who can give Rangers a bit of a problem. And it's the external factors today that are important. The game is not on the Rangers fans' season ticket book. Therefore, the attendance will be substantially lower than it was last weekend for the league game against Motherwell. Factor in the disappointment that followed the Kiev result, and the Rangers fans are going there allegedly some of a mind to protest. over what's going on at Ibrox, but they're going there in a state of near despair. Defeat is unthinkable.
It's not just about that game, Mark, just a, in a general sense. The brilliant thing about the format and the way we do it is it brings an awful lot of pressure, and you're not even out of mid-August.
Well, it certainly does, and for those bigger sides that are facing teams further down the divisions, of course that brings its own pressure. And you know, this cup competition comes around pretty quickly, but everybody wants to be there involved in the latter stages at Hampden, and to do that you need to negotiate these ties well. Now, as I said, that Aberdeen Queen's Park, on paper, the way Aberdeen started, the way Queen's Park, you think that's a formality. Dundee Airdrie will be an interesting one. I don't know what you're getting with Airdrie at the minute. They play lovely football, and we've seen them score 8 against East Kilbride, and they look good in the eye, but we've seen them get absolutely walloped for Ayr United as well, and Dundee look pretty good as well, so that'll be an interesting game. But Falkirk Hearts is an intriguing one. Hearts, I thought, looked good against Rangers on the opening day. They were so poor away from home at Dens last week, and Falkirk have started brilliantly.
Well, let's go round them then. Let's start with, you could take your picks really, let's go Falkirk Hearts. Fraser Wishart is there.
Yeah, Mark Wilson set it up beautifully for me there, Gordon, because I think this is a tricky one for Hearts today. The League Cup, of course, is one of their best chances of winning a trophy, but they're up against a Falkirk team who are absolutely flying so far this season. And as Mark was saying, after a good performance versus Rangers on the opening day, Hearts followed up with a poor performance and result at Dens Park last Sunday. Stephen Naismith in his pre-match media admitting he made mistakes, he wouldn't elaborate. Hearts fans were certainly questioning the change of formation and personnel after the Rangers game, and Stephen has shuffled his pack again today. There's 8 changes to the team, and back to back 4 with their depth of squad. It's still a strong lineup. It's like another first team, and I think he would love a comfortable victory before the vital European League qualifier next Thursday. But I think we all know that any kind of win won't come easy against Falkirk. For Hearts today, I saw Falkirk beat Dunfermline away last weekend, and you just get a sense of something good happening at this club. On the field, it's been really good. Off the field, the supporters getting right behind the team, and they have players who played at a Premier level and are actually wanting to show themselves against the bigger teams. And after an unbeaten league season in 23-24, the confidence momentum has just continued into this season. Former Hearts winger Callum Morrison's one of their real threats, and he'll want to prove himself against his old team. And striker Ross McIver signing a new contract in midweek, so they'll be flying, and I think the whole Falkirk team will be so looking forward to this game here. Virtually a full house at Falkirk Stadium, the atmosphere will be terrific, and really looking forward to what I think will be a cracking 90 minutes. No surprises to the Falkirk lineup, unchanged for the third game in succession, 4-2-3-1 formation. Nicky Hogarth is in goals, back 4 Keelan Adams, Cole Donaldson, Liam Henderson and Sean Mackey, 2 in midfielder Brad Spencer and Dylan Tate, with Callum Morrison, Gary Oliver and Calvin Miller behind at the striker Ross McIver. The subs for Falkirk: Owen Hayward, Finn Yates, Liam McCann, Alfredo Aguiman, Ryan Shanley, Logan Sinclair, Flynn McCafferty and Kaelin Drone. For Hearts, I said earlier, there's 8 changes. Out go Clark, Oyugoke, Kent, Rowles, Devlin, Grant, Shankland and Mackay, and in come Gordon, Halkett, Kingsley, Spittle, Boateng, Oda, Boyce and Danda. And back to their favoured 4-2-3-1 formation. Craig Gordon's in goals, Gerard Taylor, Craig Halkett, Stephen Kingsley and James Penrice at the back. Blair Spittle and Malachi Boateng will be in midfield, with Yotaro Odo, Liam Boyce and Jan Danda behind the main striker Kenny Vargas. Subs for Hearts: Xander Clark, Daniel Oyugoke, Lorne Shankland, Barry Mackay, Cammy Devlin, Kai Rowles, Alan Forrest and Musa Drami. And the referee today with no VAR is David Dickinson.
It's just on paper at this point, Fraser, because there was a disappointing result last week, so let's not go overboard with our praise of Hearts. But just listening to that team, if that's some sort of second string rotated reserve team from Hearts, it is absolutely full. Every single one of them recognisable players that could be in the starting 11. So like I say, to repeat, it's on paper just now, but that looks like incredible depth this season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Stephen Naismith can complain about the backing he got over the summertime and over the last couple of years from his board. You know, they signed 9 players over the summer, and signed like Salvador, the left back as well, who's not in this squad. And it's packed full of international players, like Craig Gordon and Stephen Kingsley have played international football. Craig Halk's been in the Scotland squad. You've got Liam Boyce, who's played for Ireland. Kenny Vargas is playing for Costa Rica. Jan Danda as well, to get lots of experience at this level. But with that comes a wee bit of pressure, and they didn't have a good pre-season. They lost at home to Orient, a heavy defeat at home to Spurs, lost to Fleetwood away as well. So and you add into the two league games as well, there's been five games without a win. Now, I don't count the pre-season games. I don't think they should count, but I'm not a Hearts supporter, and defeat today would again have people saying, what's going on? Because there's plenty of depth to the squad, as you say, Gordon. Plenty of good players, probably not even stripped, or not even in the 2022 names that are around the first team squad as well. So they've got to get a victory today. I think they will. I think it'll be hard fought. I think there'll be a few goals today as well for me here, but I think they'll do it by the odd goal. But a fascinating 90 minutes ahead, because Falkirk are good. Falkirk have got players who are better than the League One standard, certainly Championship and above standard, and they're just absolutely flying. There's just a momentum here that John McGlynn's got going. So I'm looking forward to a great 90 minutes. Real test for Hearts, but I think they'll get there in the end by the odd goal.
Yeah, really looking forward to that one. Let's keep going then. There are a few of these Premiership versus Championship games. Will we see shocks in any of them? Another one that ticks that box is Dundee against Airdrie, and Roger Hannah is there.
Yeah, it's been quite the start for Dundee again this season, Gordon. 25 goals in their six games. They're a perfect record through the Premier Sports Cup group stage. They twice came from behind for that derby draw at Tannadice. I know you were there in the opening weekend of the season. And of course, they beat Hearts 3-1 here with a bit of style last Saturday. Tony Docherty's men have really just picked up where they left off last season with that top six finish. There's six new recruits in the summer, three start today, and they've even transformed what was a very dodgy, dense surface last season into a pristine bowling green here. It's the best regrowth I've seen since Andy Halliday came back from Turkey. They've managed to keep hold of Luke McCown so far, in spite of that interest from Celtic, Hibs and Bolton, and they only make one change today, and that's in goal. It looks as if Trevor Carson is going to be the cup keeper for Tony Docherty this season. So Trevor Carson in goals, the same back four that played against Hearts: Ethan Ingram, Antonio Portales, Jordan McGee and Ziad Larkesh. Midfield, Lyle Cameron and Mo Salah, along with the man in demand, McCown. And it's a front three of Seb Palmer-Holden, Simon Murray and Scott Tiffany on the bench: McCracken, Sharp, Astley, Main, Robertson, Graham and Lockhead. The last three, they've been going well. Four wins in that narrow 2-1 defeat at Aberdeen. That was until that 5-0 hammering at Ayr United that Mark mentioned there last Friday night. Rhys McCabe signed 13 in the summer after reaching the promotion playoffs last term. He scored a last minute penalty winner against Dundee in last season's Premier Sports Cup. He makes six changes today and he recalls himself to the start lineup. We think it may be a more defensive Airdrie side today. It looks as if it's going to be Kieran Wright on loan from Rangers in goal. We think it might be a back five: Cameron Bruce, Dylan McDonald, Rhys McCabe, Murray Aiken and Mason Hancock. Midfield, Terrell Agyemang, Dean McMaster, Adam Frizzell, the skipper, and Gavin Gallagher, with up front on form Ben Wilson. On the bench, Johnson, Reid, Watson, McGrattan, Cooper, Mochrie, Armstrong and Taylor Sinclair. McCabe, of course, eager to avenge a 6-2 Scottish Cup defeat here 2 years ago. He took the Dark Blues all the way to extra time, went down to 10 men and then lost four goals in the additional half hour. I covered the game for Sky, for Scoreboard, I should say, Gordon, and I was late for my curry. So let's not have any repeat. Let's get it done inside 90 minutes. Thanks very much.
I do wonder, Roger, if the cup competitions are something that Tony Docherty's really looking at this season. You know, now that they're back in the Premiership, very good in the Premiership last season, early signs are good. Add into that bit that fans really get obsessed with, it's a long old time since Dundee won either cup competition. The Scottish Cup so long ago, even Hugh Keevans can't remember it. And even the League Cup, you're going back to the early 70s. So I just wonder how a trip to Hampden features on Tony Docherty's list of priorities this season.
Yeah, when I was reading up on some of the stuff last night, Gordon, I actually stumbled upon a couple of tweets from Dundee fans just along those lines. You know, 1910, the last Scottish Cup win, 1973, Tommy Gemmell and all that, the last League Cup win. They haven't even been to a Hampden final since Jim Duffy took them to the Scottish Cup final 21 years ago when they lost to Rangers at Hampden. The Dundee fans want a cup run. They want back to Hampden for semi-finals and finals, and I think Tony Docherty appreciates what it would mean to the Dundee support here, hence a very strong Dundee side this afternoon.
Yeah, so much to look forward to in that fixture. Let's keep going round the grounds. Another one, Premiership versus Championship, is for Dave Galloway, Aberdeen against Queen's Park.
Yeah, so Aberdeen are beginning life without talismanic striker Bojan Miovski, Gordon, after his club record move to La Liga and Champions League football with Girona. The search for his replacement is, of course, ongoing, but Jimmy Tillane's challenging his other forwards to grab the opportunity they've been given. Miovski only started one of the Dons' six games so far this season and came off the bench twice, but they've got a 100% record, and the likes of Esther Sokler and Papi Gay has shown flashes at least of what they can do. And Finnish winger Topi Keskinen arrived this week. He is on the bench. Queen's Park visiting Pittodrie for the first time, incidentally, in 51 years. Come here with nothing to lose. And for boss Callum Davidson, the aim is for his men to put in a performance which quietens the home crowd, then see where it takes them. And as always, as it's the Cup, you just never know. The Spiders caused a huge upset the last time they met Aberdeen. That was back in 2006 at Hampden. They won the League Cup tie on penalties, 5-3 on the spot kicks thereafter, a 0-0 draw. Let's take a look at the teams then. Just the one change for Aberdeen. In comes young Jack Milne. Out goes Slobodan Rubicic. So it's Dimitar Mitov in goals. A back four for the Dons of Nicky Devlin, Jack Milne, Gavin Molloy and Jack McKenzie. The sitting midfielders, Silvert, Heltney Nielsen and Graham Shinney. Further forward, Shaden Morris on the right, Jamie McGrath on the left, with Papi Habib Gay sitting behind the main striker, Esther Sokler. The subs for the Dons: Duin, Jensen, McGarry, Bazawin, Palaversa, McDonald, Ambrose, Babbage and the aforementioned Keskinen. As for Queen's Park, well, three changes for them. In come Nicola Ujdur, Jack Thompson and Dane Murray. Out drop Zach Mochin, Mackenzie Carse and Roddy McGregor. So Callum Ferry in goals. It's a back three of Cammy Kerr, Dane Murray and Nicola Ujdur. Midfield five, by the looks of things, Louis Longridge, Jack Turner, Sean Welsh, Jack Thompson and Josh Scott. With a front two for Queens of Zach Rodden and Dom Thomas. The subs: Wills, McGregor, McLeish, Hines, Connolly, McDonnell, McKenzie, McGinley and Fieldson. The match referee today here at Pittodrie is Colin Stephen, and there is no VAR.
Oh, that should be a bit more enjoyable for those of you who are not into that sort of thing. Where else have we yet to go? The lowest ranked team in the competition. Is there a fairy tale on here? The Spartans against Ross County. David Friel's there.
You know what, Gordon? I wonder if there is a fairy tale on here. It's quite quiet, it's quite calm at Ainslie Park. A first ever visit for myself. I think it's a first ever visit for Radio Clyde here, but I think there's a quiet confidence about this Spartans team. As you said, they're the lowest ranked team in the competition, remaining in the League Two, but they did come through a pretty tough group with Livingston and Dunfermline. And they're always strong here at Ainslie Park. They beat Dundee United here last year. Remember, in the Scottish Cup, Hearts needed an injury time goal. Frankie Kent got it to get through. So I would never ever write off Dougie Samuel. He's got a really good thing going here. He's in his 13th year at the club. It's a community club in every sense. They've got good players, good young talent. And when you look through the squad and the starting lineup, you know, there's a lot of recognisable names. Paul Watson, James Craig and Callum Booth won this competition with St Johnstone in 2021. And then they've got the goal machine up front, Blair Henderson. They've always got a chance with him. He's an accountant off the pitch and his numbers are very good on it as well. He's got over 100 SPFL career goals. He's got over 160 in total if you take in his goals in the lower leagues before that, and he's also got four already this season. He's in form and I think he'll be looking to cause Ross County trouble today. As for County though, I think Don Cowie was a really sensible appointment. He steadied the ship and they'll be coming here full of confidence. They've got a perfect group stage in the Premier Sports Cup, 4 wins out of 4. They've started with 2 draws in the Premiership. Maybe wanted a wee bit more, but they've been pretty solid so far. They did lose Simon Murray and a few others, guys like Jack Baldwin, but I think in attack, Ronan Hale already looks the part. I think he's going to be a major threat for Spartans today. As I said, it was a sensible appointment after the Derek Adams mayhem last season. I think Don Cowie has his eyes on a long Hampden run. I'll just run through the teams for you. Spartans line up: Jack Serity and goals, a back four of Kieran Watson, Ayrton Songkur, Paul Watson and Callum Booth. Midfield three of James Craig and Lewis Hunter and Bradley White, with Jamie Dishington, Blair Henderson and Cammy Russell in attack. Subs for the Spartans are Carswell, Ingalls, Scott Denham, Lamont Wiley, Walls and Whittaker. As for Ross County, it'll be Ross Laidlaw in goals, a back four of James Brown, Ryan Leake, Will Nightingale and George Harmon. Aidan Denham, Connor Randall and Victor Latour will be midfield three, with Noah Chilvers in behind Jordan White and Ronan Hale. Subs for County are Ross, Greaves, Telfer, Samuel, Brophy, McLeod, Robiston and Reid. The referee at Ainslie Park is Dan McFarlane.
Lots to look forward to there as well. If there is to be a fairy tale, maybe that is the one. The lowest ranked team, the Spartans, taking on Premiership opposition in Ross County. Of course, Rangers St Johnstone is still to come later. And at this stage on a Saturday, we generally pause for some kind reflection on the weekend's biggest talking points. We'll do that next.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are in the studio. The top team are round the grounds. One of those weekends. We are jealous of them getting to go out and see the action this afternoon because it's League Cup day. And who knows what we'll have in store. We've given you the teams already, we've been round the grounds, and we will do it again. But let's speak more generally and get the guys involved on some of the week's biggest talking points. I can just almost sense the enthusiasm from you, Roger, Hannah, just desperate to talk about the very latest in a long line of instalments on Old Firm ticket allocations. Would you like to take it away?
Rangers fans don't get any tickets for Celtic Park on September the 1st. Celtic fans don't get any tickets for the Rangers home game on the 2nd of January. And after that, the SPFL say they have to give an allocation of 5% for the 3rd and 4th Old Firm derbies of this season. Brendan Rodgers raised the stakes yesterday, Gordon, by lumping all of the blame for this shambles onto Rangers. Rangers have yet to respond. I'm sure they will. They like a statement, and that is where we are.
Yeah, I mean, Fraser Wishart, it's good to know that we don't even need to wait till we're out of August to focus on the politics and the drama of Scottish football. Forget the on-field nonsense. We've got a lot to keep us entertained.
Easy, change the rules. Change the rules, make sure there's an absolute minimum in the rules that people have to offer, and then you're not leaving it up to clubs to get involved in who gets what. And but they won't do that. I've said many times before, one of the problems with our game of governance is that the clubs make their own rules. There's no checks or balances. Nobody's really coming up with any new ideas. It's just left up to the clubs to make their own rules, and when they do so, they just don't like rules that don't suit them. So easy solution, have it in the rules. A bit like I think UEFA would have for their competitions. There must be a minimum amount for each game. Then you're not leaving it up to clubs to make their own decisions. It's just a bit sad it's come up again at a time when we're looking forward to the Old Firm game in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be a big occasion for Scottish football. But again, it's going to be live in television and no away supporters, and it does take away from it. You know, those of us who played in Old Firm games when the away team, you know, when I was playing at Ibrox, and Celtic had the whole of the away stand. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But those days are long gone now. So yeah, it's there should be rules in place. That's the simplest thing. Then clubs can't just do their own thing.
Well, here's the thing, Roger, because it maybe wasn't a hard fast rule, but the difference in this latest episode of this ongoing saga is we thought there was an agreement or a 5% sort of cut off point, but Celtic say they've done the work. They say Rangers haven't given them suitable guarantees that they can do the same for the fixture, so we've gone back on it.
Yeah, very much so. As Fraser says, the only way to solve this is to have a hard and fast rule that the league is willing to make robust and stick to. It's almost as if the people in the sixth floor at Hampden are scared to take on Celtic and Rangers, you know, Gordon. There should be a rule. Fraser's correct. Whether it's a 5%, whether it's 7%, whether it's something that can be flexible due to segregation, etc., etc. But it doesn't shine a very flattering light on Scottish football. This is the blue ribboned event in the Scottish football calendar. It is watched around the globe. We know Sky Sports, the broadcast partners of the SPFL, are unhappy that away supporters are not getting into the games. It is petty, it is silly, and it's about time the SPFL had a bit of backbone to bring in a rule and make it enforceable.
The club's job is to protect the support, and if there's not that guarantee that come the second fixture, I think it's only logical that you wouldn't reciprocate. Celtic have played their part in what they were asked to do, and again, I go back, nothing of this was Celtic's issue. Nothing. When you go back to when this all started, it's nothing to do with Celtic. Celtic gets dragged into this here as being a Celtic Rangers thing. It's not a Celtic Rangers thing. This is a Rangers thing. So Celtic, when even they're asked to and have this agreement to make the stadium safe and everything else, we plough money into that. We do the works, which started months ago. On both parties, it hasn't been agreed. So it's not complicated. It hasn't been done. For good faith, whatever way you want to put it, there's still an agreement for both, right? So it's not done. It's not great faith. If we allow Rangers supporters in, then we get to January and our own supporters can't get in. It's not good faith. I think that the agreement hasn't been upheld. So Celtic rightly have to defend their supporters and their club. And sadly, as I said, the Rangers supporters miss out in this game and Celtic in the return game. But let's hope that after that, we can then find a way to get the supporters in.
Not that this is the way to measure everything, David Friel, but we stuck that clip of Brendan Rodgers on the Super Scoreboard Twitter feed yesterday, and it's been viewed well over 600,000 times. It was box office stuff from Brendan Rodgers. The Celtic fans loved it. Maybe some of the Rangers fans wanted to argue with it, but clearly he's keen to probably move away from what we just did in the first few minutes of this conversation, where we take a very general broad brush approach to it and say, ah, they're both petty, they both need to get their act together. He was quite keen to point out that it's a bit more specific than that as far as he sees it.
It was strong stuff, Gordon, as you said, box office. I think, you know, we're going over old ground, but I think in terms of Brendan Rodgers saying Rangers started it all, I mean, that's going way back to when Rangers cut the allocation. I think Steven Gerrard was the manager, so I think for a better analogy, I think what Brendan Rodgers is referring to is Rangers threw the first punch in terms of the ticket allocations, but we're probably in the 100th chapter since then. In terms of this one, it basically comes down to Celtic not feeling that they've got a guarantee that the security arrangements are going to be in place. Now, Rangers will say it's 5 months away till that game. Rangers have got more pressing concerns in terms of the stadium instead of that. But my only hope out the whole thing is this is just purely a consequence of the Rangers' stadium problems, and that come March, when the derby will resume after that, that there will be away fans, because I don't think anybody can really handle years and years of rancour and disagreement over these ticket stories.
I like to think so, Hugh, and I know we are cynical and I know we tend to fear the worst, but this does feel a bit different in that Celtic, they've taken practical steps. They've done building work and reconfigured turnstiles and whatever it is. So it does look like there is a desire there. Is David right? Is this all going to be eventually fixed when Rangers get back into Ibrox and things get moved along for the new fixtures in the new year?
For me, the logic of Celtic's case is undeniable. They cannot tell if Ibrox will be ready for the game with Celtic at the beginning of January. John Bennett, the Rangers chairman, doesn't know when Rangers are going back to Ibrox. Otherwise, he would have a shiny big press conference and tell everyone, particularly the Rangers supporters who are distressed by having to use the National Stadium. So while there is absolutely no knowledge whatsoever of when Rangers return to Ibrox, Celtic are saying, well, in that case, we'll keep things as they are for the game at Celtic Park on the 1st of September. And on the subject of what does and does not reflect well on Scottish football, the fact that these measures were reported to include the installation of nets above people's heads so that they go to a football match and avoid physical scarring, or worse, that reflects badly in Scottish football.
Do you not think it reflects badly, though, still, that Brendan Rodgers is there saying that the works have been done by Celtic and the stadium's ready for Rangers fans to be in there, and they're still being petty and not just allowing it to happen?
Well, because
that's what he's trying to explain.
But still, there's an opportunity here for Celtic to be the grown-ups and take the moral high ground in this and say, fine, you've not got your house in order, we've done our job, and have enough confidence in your team that you have enough in the pitch to beat Rangers, even if they've got 2,500 fans.
Brendan Rodgers said what he said yesterday, and in the robust manner in which he said it, because he knows it plays well with the Celtic fans. The Celtic fans think he's the top man because he expressed himself the way he did. That's a PR issue. But my logic where this is concerned is that Brendan Rodgers and Celtic have done what they have said because there can be no guarantee that Ibrox will be ready for the next derby after that. Therefore, Brendan Rodgers and Celtic are saying we have to stand by our supporters. If we allow Rangers fans into the ground, the supporters won't take it well, because there can be no guarantee about their safety in the next derby. So I know it's primitive, but this is Glasgow, this is the Old Firm, and Brendan Rodgers was standing up for Celtic yesterday.
Let's just pivot slightly to a different topic, although it's all linked, Roger Hannah, because later we will see Rangers play at Hampden, and partly because fans don't like it as much as Ibrox, maybe partly because midweek didn't go to plan, it's obviously not on season tickets, you wonder again what the Hampden factor looks like today for Rangers.
Yeah, very much so, Gordon. When you do your ACCA with the lads in the studio at 3 o'clock, you could maybe add a prediction for what the crowd will be at 5:45 at Hampden, because I think it will be shockingly low, not on the season ticket, on television, an awkward time on a Saturday night, a disillusioned Rangers support, disillusioned by the fact that they're not in their traditional home, disillusioned by the fact that there haven't been the signings that they wanted, disillusioned by the fact they're out the Champions League and already 2 points behind Celtic. Very difficult to argue with the Rangers support if they don't go to a game like this tonight, and you begin to wonder when the pressure will build on the Rangers board for a little bit more transparency. You know, you don't need to tell us an exact date. Yes, we'll be back in such a date. They need to update the supporters on what's going on, Gordon. They need to tell the fans, because fans, they're angry, and I'm also growing aware of a group who are just apathetic to the whole thing. They're just fed up. And I think apathy is a bigger danger to any supporter group than anger is. I don't think there'll be a lot at Hampden tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Fraser, we all sort of debated this time last week about what impact does playing at Hampden have. And we were a bit split, but those who didn't think it would make much of a difference were talking about, you know, these are still good players, it's still a big pitch, it's still a good surface, all that sort of stuff. I wonder if it took until midweek for us all to realise maybe we overlooked the simple fact that once fewer people start turning up, then it really does disadvantage you.
Yeah, it's funny, I was thinking about that, Gordon, because I was one who said I don't think in the short term, if it is going to be a short term fix, that it would affect, because the players will just go on with it. But I didn't factor into the equation that Rangers would be playing a Champions League qualifier and it wouldn't be a full house, you know. And I think today there will be a smaller crowd. It's a number of factors. I think Hampden's included in that. I think the cost of football these days as well is a lot of money. It's not in the season tickets, so everybody's having to fork out more money, so it's difficult for people. And I don't think it'd be a full house if the game was at Ibrox, but it'd be interesting to see the crowd. So I think there's a host of factors, and the only thing that the Rangers players and Philip Coulon can do is get a performance and get a winning performance on the park and try and get these people back to Hampden Park. But if it goes beyond September into October, November, whatever the time scale is, then that's that. I think the alarm bells might start to ring in terms of the supporters coming along to games, because that's the number one thing they have to do. If you've not got the supporters coming to the games, then that causes financial problems as well. And we know that things are tight, and Philip Coulon said they're trying to get the wage bill down. So the only thing the players can do today is get a win on the board, and sometimes on football, a win and a good win just changes the mindset and the mentality of everybody around the club. But if they don't win today, then the danger signs are there.
Yeah, look, as Fraser said, Gordon, it's probably important we don't overstate this. I think at this stage last season, Rangers played Morton in the Cup at Ibrox. There wasn't 40,000 there. Football is very expensive, and if fans don't feel like they're getting good value for their money, you know, it's not a huge criticism. We're more talking about what does the move do, and ultimately, is it damaging Rangers' chances of progressing in the Cup? That's the football question.
It could. If Rangers were playing St Johnstone today at Ibrox, then I think everybody would be backing them 100%. I'm not too sure. I still fancy them to win. But listen, I said on Tuesday night, Rangers gave away their advantage in one of the biggest games of the season. And I know that Hampden wasn't full the other night there. You go to Ibrox on a European night, it's completely different. As a player, Mark will tell you, it gives you so much energy. It gives you that, you know, that extra half yard, everything about it. And Rangers have showed that in the past, and I think they gave away their advantage. Playing at Hampden is an absolute shambles. I think it was Hugh that said at the top of the show, if Rangers had to lose tonight, Clement would come in for that bit of pressure. The full club will Not just the manager. Everybody will carry the can, from the board to the players to the manager, everything. Rangers fans are at a boiling point, Gordon. You can tell. We get about, we speak to them, you hear what they're trying to say. They're trying to back their club, and that's what they always do. They always say they back their club, even from the third division all the way up. But there's a fine line. There's a boiling point now. Rangers need a good result tonight.
I did say, Roger, we always try and talk about the kind of biggest talking points from the week. If it wasn't for the ticket update yesterday and the Brendan Rodgers stuff, it probably would have just been about European qualification action on the field in midweek. It didn't go to plan for Rangers. You know, over the 90 minutes, there's maybe no huge disgrace there. They went down to 10 men. Most people agree it was a very harsh decision. But is it all just part of a sort of bigger picture currently?
Yeah, it probably is, Gordon. I mean, Philip Clement said pre-season the squad that he had at his disposal wasn't ready for the Champions League, and they've proved him right. Even without the hefty red card, we have to say it was a second book, it's a terrible decision. But Rangers never led in the tie at any stage. They weren't peppering Buchan's goal at Hampden in the second leg there. So I think a drop into Europa League, it doesn't do anything to help the finances compared to the Champions League. Of course it doesn't, but I just think Rangers look more of a Europa League team than they do a Champions League team. St Mirren Thursday night lost to a quality brand side who I think second top in the Norwegian League. But you have to take your hat off to Kilmarnock, a fantastic away win in Norway. They are now just one tie away, and it'll be a difficult tie. FC Copenhagen are a good side. You know, you've seen them play before against the Old Firm. We know their quality. But Kilmarnock are one tie away from group stage football in European competition. When Derek McInnes came to the club, they were playing Queen of the South at Palmerston in the Championship. The job that Derek McInnes has done there is phenomenal.
Yes, let's park that for the meantime though, because we've got League Cup business to take care of. We've already been round the grounds and given you the teams, but we'll take a visit back to them next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just under 15 minutes till kick-off in the 3 o'clock games in the League Cup, of course, Rangers and St Johnstone to come a bit later, and we'll bring you team news as soon as we can. But let's keep going on the 3 o'clock matches. Go back to the Falkirk Stadium, because what a game Fraser Wishart has in his hands. And the fascinating thing about Falkirk, Fraser, is how long can they keep this feel-good factor going? There's clearly been a deliberate attempt to, you know, harness the positivity from last season, keep the continuity, keep what was good about last season, not sign loads of players, and see if that is going to be enough to make the step up. This is obviously a different challenge against Premiership opposition today.
Yeah, but when you look at their squad, Gordon, Falkirk squad, it's full of players who are not League One players. You know, Callum Morris and Calvin Miller, who was at Celtic as well. There's a Dylan Tate's on loan from Hibs as well, Cole Donaldson, people like that as well. They've got experience of playing at a higher level, so I don't think there's a need to dramatically overhaul the squad. But it's just a momentum, it's just a feel-good factor. John McGlynn, as we all know, is a very good coach, but he's also a good guy. The players really take to him at every club he's been at, and he's been harshly treated at some of the clubs that he's managed in the past, and I think he has that way of just motivating his players. You know, and I'm looking down here, got a lovely artificial pitch. It's a good nick, it's a new one as well. And I saw Jim Duffy actually on Super Scoreboard on the Twitter site tipping Falkirk to come straight back up. And I have to say, I've always thought they'd be right up there, but of course they've got an official pitch if they did get promoted. But you're now talking about Falkirk perhaps being in the promotion race as well. And it's maybe because they've been down in League One for 5 years that you forget they are actually a big club, you know, and the support here, there'll be 5,000-6,000. They've had that in the League One as well. So terrific to see a bit of success for Falkirk, and they'll really test Hearts today. I think it's going to be a fantastic 90 minutes.
How many changes was it again? Did you put a number on it for Hearts?
Eight. So eight changes.
Eight changes, which means there are only a couple of outfield players that have survived, and one of them is Gerald Taylor. I feel like we are partly responsible in here, Fraser, because on day one of the season we had this guy winning player of the year, we had him moving on and winning the Champions League next season, and then last week he came crashing back down to earth and then some with a proper all time terrible performance. So what are we getting this week?
And an own goal as well to boot. So football does that. You have a real high and then you get a kick in the teeth as well. Looking forward to seeing him. I haven't seen him playing, but I hear good things about him. Very athletic, very mobile, gets himself forward. But you're right, in those eight changes, there's a strong team that Hearts have put out. If you put this team out without the eight changes, you would still think it was a really good Hearts first team. So they're going to have to do the business, because Hearts have got a tough game on Thursday against Victoria Plzeň in Czech Republic. I looked at the weather and it's going to be in the high 20s, so it's going to be a hot day as well. So they've got some big games coming up, and Hearts are going to need that squad. And when they get into the Europa League or Conference League stages as well, going to need this big squad. So the players today, a good performance after a poor performance by the other eight last week. They might just cement a place in the team for the Europa League. So good squad that they've got. But looking forward to Gerald Taylor. I'll give you good reports on him, see if he's any good.
Player cam from Fraser Wishart. Roger Hannah, before you talk Dundee, Airdrie, and then give us your Hearts Falkirk stat that you just shared with me.
Well, the changes that Fraser was telling us about, Craig Gordon back in goal for Hearts today. Craig Gordon played in goal in a cup tie for Hearts away to Falkirk at Brockville in 2003. It was only his second senior game. He lost 4-0 to a Colin Samuel hat-trick and a goal by Owen Coyle 21 years ago. He truly is evergreen.
And then Ian McCall got to Dundee United off the back of that win.
And brought Colin Samuel as well with him,
I love Roger's stats.
How does he know that? You know what I mean? Yeah. Where's he dug that?
Because
from?
He's a journalist.
He doesn't go
research.
You nearly nodded off during that.
Oh, he bores the life out of me.
And Samuel for this morning's paper, Mark.
Did you?
Thanks for reading.
Where's he up to?
We'll stick you down as a reader.
Oh, hold on a minute. Why don't you
yes, I read it, Roger.
Between that and Fraser Guinness, a weather report, where has this programme gone?
Tell me this, remind me, among those welter of changes, is Jan Danda in the team or on
yes,
the best?
He's in the team. In the
Jan
team.
Danda became my player of the year day one, because Jan Danda did a me. Jan Danda came out and said Hearts could win this league, and the following week they get bleached at they Dundee.
They still might. I'm not sure they will, but there we go. Dundee against Airdrie. Roger Hannah again, one of these buzzwords that we use, you know, identity, and that's something that keeps getting labelled at Airdrie because they play what lots of people consider the right way, whatever that means. Interesting to see how much they're willing and then how much they're able to stick to against a good Premiership team away from home today.
Oh, well, one guarantee I'll give you is they will stick to it, because Rhys McCabe will make them stick to it. Even as they were going down 5-0 at Somerset Park 8 days ago, they stuck to it. I've seen Airdrie quite a bit under Rhys McCabe in the last couple of years. When it works, it can be spectacularly good. You know, I've seen them with some really good wins in the Championship after coming up from League One. They are susceptible now and again to a heavy one, and they took a heavy one down at Ayr a week past last night. He won't want the same today. It looks, as I said at the top of the show, it looks a more defensive lineup. McCabe, I think, will be in the middle of that. Well, it looks like a five-man Diamonds defence. But they will continue to play. That's the way he wants to do it. He never deviates from it. And it should make for an attractive game, because there are plenty of ball players, as you know, in that Dundee. You know, Dundee said, look at that front six, Cameron, Silla and McCowan in midfield. Terrific players. Tiffany, who shone against Hearts last week, and Simon Murray back from Ross County, and desperate to score goals here for the day.
Yeah, I suppose worth considering, is this the last or one of the last times Dundee fans will see Luke McCowan? He's a wanted man. We'll see how that goes in the coming weeks. More of a personal question for you, Dave Galloway. Did you get the Bojan Mijovski posters off your wall okay?
Yeah, the blue tack left a few marks though, so I'll need to do a bit of a paint job there. The way he left was exemplary. The way he has conducted himself, exemplary. He's still adored by the Aberdeen fans, and he left a lengthy, heartfelt and emotional message on his own Instagram page, you know, just to say, you know, thanks very much for everything. Once a Don, always a Don, that sort of thing. But it'll be interesting to see how things react in the post-Mijovski era. Confidence obviously very high after starting the campaign with six successive wins, and, you know, having reached the final last season of this tournament, Aberdeen will be certainly targeting a repeat this time. It should be a decent game. Queen's scored 16 goals in the League Cup group group stages. Of course, they did lose 5-1 to Hibs. They've got a decent looking mix of youth and experience in the team. There'll be no pressure at all on them. So, you know, it'll be very interesting to see how this one pans out, Gordon. Will the home team make a fast start, or can the visitors quieten the home fans and get a foothold in the game?
Gordon Dale was wanting to tell us about the posters he had on his bedroom wall, but we figured we'd leave that since it's a family show. Let's finally go back to the Spartans against Ross County, David Freeland. And as we've said, it's just the one that screams out nothing to win, really, and everything to lose for Ross County today. I don't mean nothing to win, because there's the obvious cup progression, but a real expectation on them to do the business.
Yeah, but I don't think someone like Don Cowie, and even Ross County as a club, considering where they came from, Gordon, you know, building their way up through the leagues, will ever take anything for granted coming down here. And, you know, there's a decent crowd now starting to pile into Ainslie Park, and, you know, the wind's up a wee bit. It's an ass a tough pitch. You do wonder how tough it's going to be for Ross County. I don't think Don Cowie will be taking any chances, judging by his team. He's put a really strong team, he won't be, but for Spartans, as you say, they've got nothing to lose. As I said earlier on, Dougie Samuel's side have done their job. Getting out the group stages was beyond their dreams. They maybe wanted somewhere away, you know, maybe Hampden to play Rangers or Celtic Park to play Celtic, but they've got Premiership opposition. It's on their home patch. They're going to be a decent crowd. There was no, I was speaking to a couple of officials, there was never any chance of obviously moving the game, but they're quite happy with that. They wanted to play here, and I think they're going to just go and give it a go. And as I said earlier on, Blair Henderson's a man that can score goals against anyone, and I'm sure he'll be out for one today again.
Looking forward to it. We are fast approaching kickoff. We're not far away at all. Let's take a breather and we'll get the guys to give their pre-match predictions next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Seconds away from kickoff in the 3 o'clock League Cup ties. There are many of them, and they're all fantastic looking in their own right. 4 at 3 o'clock currently then. What are we looking at? Aberdeen, Queen's Park, Dundee, Airdrie, Falkirk Hearts, the Spartans, Ross County. Give us your hopeless dud prediction, please, Hugh Keevans.
I'm going for Aberdeen to beat Queen's Park, Dundee to beat Airdrie. In spite of the 8 changes, which I always think smacks of uncertainty at managerial level, Hearts to win at Falkirk, Ross County to defeat the Spartans, and at 5:45, Rangers will beat St Johnstone. By how many? I don't care to guess.
No shocks in there, Hugh, no?
No.
Straightforward.
It's no. Your sense of occasion.
Come on, Hugh, but I totally agree with you. Oh. I don't think there will be shocks. I know there's plenty of intriguing ties in there, but I think the bigger clubs will get the job done.
Boring.
Okay. Once a Don, always a Don. I'll go Aberdeen. Our Sky Sports reporter will give us plenty of goals from Dens Park. I'll go Dundee. The weatherman at Falkirk.
Did you catch that earlier on?
Yeah.
Roger Hanna always said he was reporting for Sky.
He's getting above his selling.
One or two wee appearances in the paper review at 3 in the morning when nobody's watching, all of a sudden he thinks he's Jeff Stirling, honestly.
Roger Hanna for Sky Sports reporting at Dens Park. It's Dundee 1. I'll go for the weatherman. I'll go for a shock, Falkirk. And I'll go for Ross County.
There we are. You've got a sense of occasion. You've got the Falkirk shock. Let's find out.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
Right, we're up and running. Let's see if we get any early goals, any early action, any early drama to keep us ready and raring to go. I'm looking forward to this. Of course, there are other games, not as many of them as you would expect down the divisions because of the cup, but we do have a cracking looking game, albeit I'm not sure how I feel about already repeating fixtures in the Championship. Aaron Hamilton, they've played each other already, haven't they?
Yeah.
They're playing again today in the Championship and League One. We've got a few games there as well. In fact, it's still a full card actually in League One. And almost a full card in League 2, just making way for that Spartans appearance in the cup. Early chance for Hearts, 30 seconds on the clock. It was Boyce, he had a bit of time and space, about 16 yards out perhaps, and the shot goes just over the bar.
I would have loved that. I loved it if Hearts had scored there. Right. After you said, there's your shock, Falkirk to beat Hearts. All the times you've looked across at me and laughed.
There's still a long way to go. 8 changes. Okay, I know Hearts have got a quality squad, leaving guys like Shanklin and all that on the bench. Falkirk, I think, get all the plaudits, and rightly so. I think John McGlynn is doing a brilliant job there. They play good football, good crowd. Can they rise to that? I just got sneaky this afternoon, they could get something.
Okay, we're up and running, and if you want to stay in touch throughout the afternoon, the best way to do so for now is at Clyde SSB on Twitter. At Full Time, of course, we will open the phones. We'll get your thoughts on what's taking place. We'll build up to the game at Hampden. In fact, we'll have team news from the National Stadium at 5:45, kickoff, maybe half four-ish, something around then. But you can stay in touch on Twitter. I'll give you the nod for the phones later. We'll preview tomorrow's action. So there is a lot going on. Sit back and I was going to say relax, but I don't think that's possible with these three interrupting you. 2 minutes gone. Dylan Tate booked for a tackle on Blair Spittle. It's a long 88 plus minutes left for him. And, you know, referee not going for the whole let the first one slide.
Yeah. Remember the old days? Well, before no. your. Did you never have that?
No.
We always.
I know what you're
well,
going
Fraser.
The first one's free.
Oh, the first
no.
one was always free. And I'll tell you what, the first one, like everything else, was always the sorest.
Fraser says it was a yellow card in his mind. Well, don't worry, we've had a lot of.
Okay.
A lot of debate and discussion this week about VAR and should you be able to overturn second yellows and all that. So there we go. Maybe Dylan Tate would be a good case study, but there won't be any VAR. In that game, of course. And it's interesting, some of the ones, the Premiership teams, if they're at home, some of them just opting to not have it.
Yeah, yeah, plenty of money at Aberdeen. They've just sold Miowski, so cost isn't the problem. It's obviously deciding not to go down that road.
And as an example, just tomorrow, last I checked, so Roger Hannah or someone will put me right if I've got it wrong, Motherwell, Kilmarnock, two Premiership teams. I don't think that's got VAR either.
So good old fashioned cup ties, and I was going to say the plus point is they're all finishing time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Might go the distance. Right, okay, if you're not willing to say there are going to be any shocks, well, you did.
One.
Any of you even willing to entertain these games going
extra
beyond
time?
90 minutes?
Oh yeah, yeah. Falkirk and Hearts could.
Oh right, okay.
Hold on a minute.
Tune a bit. That's
you're siding with me now, eh?
No. You said there'd be a shock there.
Would the Spartans taking Ross County be a shock after what they did to Hearts, ran them close last year in the cup? You know, that was a good performance. And the way they've started, we've tipped them, the Spartans, to win that league.
I must admit, I love David Friel's talking about his filling up now. He was running about trying to make it look sound busy, didn't he?
And it was really quiet when he said it was filling up. But I suppose
the
these things
are. Was the wind.
These things are reality.
He was and flicking seats and all that, kidding on the other people sitting down.
The way things have gone for Philippe Clement this week, you wouldn't be surprised if they went to extra time. You know, by that time, the game will finish at what, half past seven tonight, and then another half hour just to completely turn everyone off.
Right, let's go for a bit of light Saturday afternoon entertainment, Hugh, in the form of
the first half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Called the Premier Sports Cup this season. It's been called everything over the years, but it's the Scottish League Cup, essentially. Can you tell me the last five Scots to score a goal in the Scottish League Cup final? The last five Scots to score a goal in the Scottish League Cup final.
Simple as that. At Clyde SSB, you need to get one tweet with all of the correct names on it, and it needs to be quicker than everyone else. It is quite simple. So get your thinking caps on, put some names down, and tweet us at Clyde SSB. I noticed in your short but illustrious career, Mark Wilson, you won the League Cup once.
Did
was
I?
Was it a particularly...
Yes, I did.
Only once? You're sitting next to DOS.
Did you win it twice?
DOS.
Okay.
2009 for you, Mark Wilson.
Oh yeah, we beat Rangers. Yeah, that's right. McGeady and O'Day, I think, scored the goals.
Yeah, good to see it stayed with you.
But I was a sub. I came on right at the crucial time,
just to see it over the line.
Extra time left back.
Starter twice. Goal scorer.
Who did you beat?
Once. Captain once.
Oh, so you did.
Hold on. Who was my other one?
Rangers against.
Who else would it be?
Aberdeen or something like that.
No. Right. I'll give you a guess who it was against. You going Aberdeen? I was meeting
obviously not
that day.
Dundee United.
Well done. Yeah.
It's quite a long gap between Scottish Cup, Scottish League Cup victories, by the way. It's quite a span.
Was it 80 odds and then 90 odds?
Well, I don't know if 94 is 90 odds, but
right,
yeah.
94, and I would probably say 81.
81, 82 season, yeah. So,
yeah.
That's quite a gap.
I was only a young lad at that time. I was just coming through the ranks.
But see, the thing is, you
I was
were
a promising youngster.
You were talking about you starting versus Mark being a sub. You didn't have that many subs in your day. In fact, you were the only one who was subbed off.
Hold on, I was injured. I remember
there was
that.
One sub off.
I remember that because there was no. You were talking about first tackles and referees let you away with a lot more. I remember Hegarty. Oh, he knew I was a danger man and decided to take one for a team. And I had to limp off, but we won 2-1. It was a big part of it.
You. Yeah, team player, I'm sure.
Subbed when there's one sub.
Hearts putting on a bit of pressure early on. A corner headed down to Kenneth Vargas, 6 yards out. He hooked a shot against the bar, and then the ball cleared. So it's not often we see Hearts going without certain Lawrence Shankland. He's going to have to do a Mark Wilson. Come off the bench but if he wants to.
You know the best
impact.
Bit about that final that we won? Well, obviously lifting the trophy and beating Rangers, but Gordon Tracking took us out of Glen Eagles for a couple of nights before it. That's why we got over the line. That was amazing, and you got the choice of doing anything you want. Boys went and played golf, and I went to the spa.
Did you?
Got a massage. Oh, it was
amazing.
Go
for a wee hill climb, a wee.
That's how the other
you
half
know, Glen Cole.
That is, isn't it? So more than one night as well.
Two nights, yeah.
Oh, for goodness
and
sake.
And we travelled through Glen Eagles back to, I think it was Barrafield at that time, to train and then back
how
again
does,
to Glen Eagles.
I always thought his time as Scotland manager, Gordon Strachan, was very against players golfing.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
games.
Yeah, he was. But no, some of the boys went, you could do anything you want
and you
just
relax.
I chose a spa, but have you been in the spa up there?
Yes.
You would choose a spa as well.
So I mean, it just shows you the difference, doesn't it? Because Raith Rovers 94, you were in the Erskine Bridge Hotel, were you not?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He was in Glen Eagles. He went for a spa.
Hold on
goodness what activity
knows, goodness
did
knows
you get up to
I went for more relaxing. I just went for a sleep. I just put my feet up and relaxed. But listen, when I was at Rangers we went to Turnberry.
Oh
yeah, Chumbre, and everybody was allowed to golf, and I didn't golf. Believe that, oh, believe that.
I can't
not.
Believe that.
Do you know what I done? I ended up going to Girvan and playing darts with Davy Cooper, because Davy Cooper hated golf, and I was sort of room, and he decided, look, I'm not playing golf. I says, right, okay, I'll go with you. I was only young, and we went into Girvan for a bit of the old arrows.
How things have changed. The golf addict nowadays.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I'd have bombed him out now.
Goal in that big championship game we spoke of, Ayr United 1 Hamilton Accies 0. Jamie Murphy on 8 minutes. Very early days, but Ayr do look like they've
yeah.
They've got a bit going for them this season.
Scoring plenty. Bruni's the man. You know, you look at his playing career, stellar. The only word that you can apply to it is stellar. I never really thought of him as a manager, but he's certainly at Ayr United, he's doing a terrific job.
To be fair, a lot of people thought about that about me here.
Well, honestly, just stop
correct.
Talking about yourself for 1 minute.
And they were correct.
We've moved on.
No, I like to bring it all back to me, right, Gordon. Okay. It's an entertaining show.
but no, they do look can like I, they've got a lot going for them.
Can I tell you what my grandchildren said about you?
Oh.
We were watching the live stream of Super Scoreboard.
This will yeah. be good.
In my
be
league,
careful.
In
their,
almost
in,
certainly going to be offensive.
In their new home in my league, and they said, "That man doesn't look interested."
It's a fair observation.
That's brilliant. And so true. So true. What
take
a critique.
Take a video in here on a Saturday. It's worse when you're talking.
Not ideal. Really not ideal. But anyway, we move on. Get your answers into that first half teaser at Clyde SSB. We do have a goal in the championship for Ayr United, thanks to Jamie Murphy. We do not have anything in our League Cup matches yet. It does sound like Hearts are going on the front foot, as their superior status in the Scottish football pyramid would.
It's incredible.
Predict.
It's incredible when you know you look at Hearts now. Going to Falkirk today, they know that's a tricky tie, and confidently the manager makes 8 changes and you look at that team and you still think that is a very strong team.
Would you think confidently? Would you, I mean, to make 8 changes from one match to the next?
Well, I think that if you go there and you're not so confident, I don't think you make 8 changes, Hugh. I think you maybe make 1 or 2. I think you keep guys like Shankland on the pitch early, and if you can get the goals, get them off. But he's obviously got a lot of trust in his squad.
Also, as we said, and I do take Hugh's point, because sometimes, not forget the names, but even just that level of disruption, the numbers can play a big part. But to then bring in the strength of those names,
incredible.
There's a lot of good players that have been over the course in Scottish football and impressed at Hearts.
Yeah,
some new signings in there as well that have been brought in for a reason.
By the way, Fraser was spot on when he says that brings a bit of its own pressure though,
because it's
great when you have a squad like that and you rotate, but Stephen Naismith must feel an element of pressure. If you're Celtic manager, Rangers manager, you're expected to finish in a certain place in the league and go deep into cup competitions. He must be the same within the Hearts fan base, but he's a realistic chance of getting deep into cup competitions, getting into finals. Can he keep in touch with the top two? That's a big question this season.
That was maybe part of the frustration. Like, they had a successful season last season anyway. They weren't, not like they needed to improve drastically, but last week when they went to Dundee and had that bad performance in the midfield, Spittle didn't play, Danda didn't play, Boateng didn't play, so it was all these new signings and didn't get the nod to go in there. But we'll see how they fair today. Some goals down the leagues going in. Clyde nil, Stirling Albion 1. There in Hamilton, the visitors taking the lead. A Craig Howie own goal. We do have a goal in one of our League Cup games. Let's find out who fought.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And Dundee take the lead at home to Airdrie. It's a man that's impressed since arriving for Tony Docherty's side, Seb Palmer Holden. Airdrie couldn't clear the corner. Simon Murray, his strike partner, another new signing, challenged the keeper. And Roger Hanna says SPH bundles the ball home.
I like that. SPH.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not catching on.
SPH. Yeah, well he started well at Tannadice, didn't
he? KDB. That's like Kevin De Bruyne. We can't go SPH.
SPH. Good signing.
We sell a bit, Roger, just there. Need to be brought down to earth.
But Seb Palmer Holden, he's started well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Look at the good performance last week, scored in the derby.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. He ran right towards where I was standing, tried the knee slide.
Terrible.
Couldn't execute it.
Dreadful.
Did you ever try that?
Come on. You're dealing with a guy that's got like the least function.
There was a bit of his career
time
when his knees were okay.
No. Surgeon told me at 17, you score, son. Don't be doing any knee slides, because that'll curtail your career even sooner.
You'd done a lot with Strachan. Then it worked.
Terrible, honestly. No injuries in here. Don't knee slide on this carpet. Their insurance won't cover that. So there's confirmation coming through of that Dundee goal to set things on their way there. It's the only goal we've got in our League Cup game. Spartans have got a free kick 30 yards out. They're doing okay, says David Friel, who promises us that the atmosphere is electric.
Stretching it a bit now.
Oh, I've never been there. It's
neither
one of
have
few
I.
Grounds.
Oh no, that's a lie. I have.
Is it Ainslie Park? Am I guessing that?
It's the only time you'll ever hear the word electric and Ainslie Park in the same sentence.
I took my breaking side there, Edinburgh City.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what got me confused, because I went, Motherwell played Edinburgh City in one of those League Cup games there, and I went, but it wasn't a Spartans game.
Played there, yeah. It was a good setup for Edinburgh City, who
I think it's Ashford Turf, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But okay. They do a lot of good community work. The Spartans, lots of teams, lots of young academy teams in and around the club. Good setup.
Good effort. It was Russell took the free kick 30 yards, just wide, so trying. You sometimes know that the lesser team, so called, in the cup competitions, maybe it's a set piece, maybe it's a mistake, so it could take something like that for Spartans, but no breakthrough yet.
What about their goal against Hearts? Remember that? It was up there for goal of the season. It was unbelievable. It might take something like that.
Hugh, remind us of your teaser, if you would be so kind.
Yes, topical. Tell me the last 5 Scots to score a goal in the Scottish League Cup final.
Lots of people are doing fairly well here. Alison and Sean and others wanted to suggest, though, Chris Commons.
Oh, I know Chris is always an answer to everything on this show, but not this time.
Such a popular wrong answer, by the way. Josh has thrown him in as well.
Yep.
There are so many people falling for the Chris Commons It makes me think you're all Googling
League
it and
Cup,
just missing one out.
League Cup, yeah.
Starbar, Andrew would like to throw in Stevie May.
Well, I do approve of the Starbar, but that's not the correct answer.
And what about Johnny Hayes?
Johnny Hayes is not there.
Okay, keep your guesses coming at Clyde SSB. It's a race, I can tell you. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale, they don't have all the right answers yet. They look thoroughly confused, as is often the case. Edinburgh City 0, Bonnyrigg Rose 1. Kerr Young with the goal there in Scottish League 2. So there is a pretty much a full card in Leagues 1 and 2. It's really just the Championship and Premiership that's been affected by the League Cup games. I'm looking forward to more of them throughout the course of the evening, and of course tomorrow as well. You two are just not even focused. You're just too busy concentrating
on the
competitive.
They've put down four and two are wrong and two are right. So
now you're five.
Great chance for Hearts. Oda's through. He's one on one with Hogarth. Great save. He spread himself well. Oda really should have scored though. So Hearts will be frustrated on one hand, but maybe encouraged by their early chances, early possession, early opportunities in this one. So we'll keep an eye. Maybe we get that breakthrough fairly soon.
Fraser was talking about the surface there, Falkirk Stadium. I was on that a couple of weeks ago.
Nice.
I mean, when you artificial pitches, we obviously, most of us don't like them, but if you're going to have one, be like that. You know, nice surface to play on.
It's also, well, in my limited experience, it's when they get relayed, basically. If you've got a good one and it's freshly down, as that would have been, because Airdrie's got relayed last season, didn't it? Mm-hmm. And it looked great.
Yeah.
I know your training is affected because Peters Hill's getting redone at the moment.
Yeah.
I was over at Orium a few weeks ago and they were redoing one of the indoor halls, the one that Hearts plays in. And then they were moving on to the big indoor pitch. So what it's time when they get trampled down and they get flat and they start looking all shiny as well, which just makes it much worse on TV. So it's nice when you get a fresh.
What happens hypothetically if Falkirk were to win promotion up to the Premier League at a time when we are, or the Premiership I should say, when we are about to outlaw artificial pitches?
Well, they were one of the ones that sort of expressed a concern.
Do you get
that,
a period of grace to
that rule change, weren't they, over the, was that over the summer or when that rule came out? I know there was a few of the clubs down the divisions certainly expressed their concerns at what that would look like.
Do you get a season to prepare? You can play on the artificial surface for a season and then
Surely not. Surely the period of grace is now that they've been told. I know promotion is a long way off.
If Falkirk get promotion, then
they need to have a contingency plan.
Tear up the carpet and put them.
Get back to Brockville.
Is that still there, Hugh?
Well, I doubt it.
No, because remember, it's to be phased out by 2026.
Uh-huh.
So you still got
another year
time, right? Anyway. Yeah.
Well, you know, but the story.
I know time is going fast, but we're still 2 years away from that. So.
But the story of the season, the Falkirk got back-to-back promotions. It would be incredible.
Tell you what, sitter for Queen's Park. I'm in shock to see them taking the lead at Pittodrie. Zach Rudden. It was just a mix-up in defence. The ball squared to him, but he just, you know, not quite the conviction he was looking for. Ball gets blocked. And in the other game, nice move as well from Ross County and Jordan White. 20 yards, but maybe should have done better, sliced it wide. Ronan Hale's been impressive, hasn't he, since he signed for County. Really sharp, good eye for goal. He's had a shot saved as well. So there's quite a lot going on in front of goal, just not as much finding the back of the net as we would like.
I think Dave's got a Jimmy Thielen poster up in place of Bojan.
I think certainly in good time. I mean, this was the week we officially lost Bojan Miovski to the Scottish game. Just a brilliant move, wasn't it? We spoke about it on the midweek shows.
Yeah.
Everything about it, because Aberdeen got great money. He gets a move to a Champions League team in La Liga. It just fitted, didn't it?
Absolutely brilliant. I've got to say, I think they got a bargain at six and a half million. But obviously Aberdeen delighted with that money. Don't want to stand in the lad's way. He was terrific. He was really, really terrific. Top notch. Had everything in his locker. He's at a good age as well. And I'm just delighted that he's went away and he's left every Aberdeen fan so happy. Once a Don, always a Don.
I'll tell you what set of fans are not happy. They've got a lot going on. Inverness, Cali Thistle.
Yeah, they're struggling.
They're a goal down at home to Montrose as well. So well, on the pitch, off the pitch, everywhere else, it's just not a good time.
Charlie Christie brought back during the week as the CEO, effectively. An interim chairman put in place, looking for a buyer for the club. Dunfermline were put up for sale during the week as well by their German owners. Stephen Mill gave me the full rundown on what's going on yesterday.
Did you see the statement though from Dunfermline? It was kind of just like blaming the Dunfermline fans.
Yeah.
Did you not see this?
The owners did.
The tone was all like, look, we were just trying to put building blocks in place for the future, but it appears people didn't really want that, and that's not our fault. It was that sort of tone. Sorry, we were thinking about the longer term. We didn't realise people were so impatient. It was that sort of.
Well, the Fifers are impatient.
It never really works.
But they've got a great support, and that's a good ground at East End Park, and everything's right for there to be a good club in that town. But the owners seem to not get the fact that you need to get players in order to go up a division, and when you go up a division, that will take care of your financial situation because you'll get big crowds all the time.
Paul Watson's been booked for a poor tackle on Jordan White in that Spartans Ross County game. County want a red, but I think it's just going to be a yellow. So no VAR, of course, as we discussed, to bail them out. Just quickly, while we've got a bit of a lull or a quiet spell in front of goal, did you see that you were the front page of the Daily Star?
What?
This week, Hugh Keevans.
The Daily Star.
I love the Daily Star.
I'm sure
in my day.
You're thinking of the Daily something else, you know?
No, Daily Star. Was it?
Did you see him? Front page? Well, sort of.
I don't buy papers.
I didn't see it.
Well, sort of by association, if you like. There is a grey-haired man with glasses on the front, but it doesn't even look that much like him, but it's more the story. The headline, Horror of the Cold Baked Beans Deviance, says.
And that
story,
like you.
A quarter of Brits, the really sick ones, admit to eating their baked beans cold. Just what is wrong with Britain at the moment?
Nothing.
That's a big
problem. And you,
problem.
As we've discussed on this show before, are a big advocate of cold
baked
beans.
Did you say really sick ones? I would use another word. Mark and I have, we're witness to this. There's a few times we've had to pick each other up off the ground.
That's what I said. They've called you sick.
You still at that, Hugh? You still digging into the cold
still
beans?
Still at the beans.
Listen, if I'm in a hurry, I just tear open one of those.
There is nowhere you need to be that much in a hurry
here,
that you need to.
He has to get in here for 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
On a midweek show.
Yeah.
But you've always got enough time for a tin opener to open the beans.
No, that's what I was going to say. Do you always go for the. Always go for the ring pull.
No, he goes for the pouch.
No, the pouches.
Oh, there's a pouch.
Oh, that's worse. So you eat it like a yogurt, really?
Yeah.
Oh, the tin would be marginally worse, I think, somehow.
But just scraping it, the scraping noise.
Oh, so it's those little plastic tubs of beans?
Yeah, buy them four at a time.
No,
yeah.
That's right.
A traditionalist like you would have gone for tins, but there we go.
You just straight up, non-toast or anything. Straight at the plastic tub.
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, no, it'd probably be just be bread. You wouldn't even be bothered toasting it. You're not heating the beans. You're not heating the bread.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, here we go.
I bought macaroni and cheese yesterday in the supermarket across the way there, and I had to get producer Chris to put it in the microwave for me.
What you're going to say? Yeah, we're going to eat
for the life of me. For the life of me, I couldn't figure out how you worked it.
Good microwaves up the stairs here.
There's a lot in this
place that doesn't work. The microwaves are magnificent. Anyway, the beans, but just so that, because this will bother me. Spoon or fork?
Spoon.
Oh, you got to go spoon.
Yeah.
All day long.
I don't trust myself with a fork.
You want to say juice?
Well, it's absolutely disgusting, isn't it?
Cold bean juice.
And then he goes like at the end and drinks it.
Honestly. Well, there you are. You've been exposed. You're the front page of the newspaper this week.
Never mind that. The Seagulls are one up at Everton. Yeah.
Various people sent me that to out you as one of the cold baked beans deviants, according to this headline.
I shall be consulting my lawyers over the use of the word sick people.
You're right. The Seagulls have scored. Everton 0, Brighton 1, Arsenal 1, Wolves 0, Nottingham Forest 1, Bournemouth 0. The English Premier League back this weekend. Usual rules will apply. I'll try and tell you the things that you really need to know, and of course anything that any Scottish player does of note, we'll try and involve it that way. Liverpool kicked things off earlier with a 2-0 win at newly promoted Ipswich. That was a full time result. I'm sure you saw Man United last night as well. A late Liverpool's sub appearance from Scott McTominay.
Liverpool's manager Arne Slot, first one to win the opening game of a new season at Liverpool since Graham Souness in 1991.
See, that's why you're here. Research, cold baked beans. It is all.
Mind you,
there.
I am the darling of the Kilmarnock fans, so you can take all your criticism and put it away.
And happy new season. Producer Michael tells me Nottingham Forest have just lost someone to a broken leg within 9 minutes.
Oh dear.
Your season over. It's not you want to start a new campaign. Just Andy Robertson played, if we're going to talk Scottish things. I know he was struggling with injury over the summer, wasn't he? But he started for Liverpool and came off today. So a win for Liverpool to get things going. Let's revisit that teaser, Hugh, if you can.
Can you tell me the last five Scots to score a goal in the Scottish League Cup final, no matter who sponsored it, when it was? Who were the last five Scots to score a goal in the Scottish League Cup final?
I would say most of you are close. Maybe just the odd one here and there that you're not quite getting. I said so many were falling for Chris Commons. That is a wrong answer. What about, what else did I see? Scott Conney would like to throw in Stuart Armstrong.
No, he's not there.
He's not one, okay. Let's see if we can help you any further if you're one of these that is close. Bailey has thrown in some well-known names, but I think we're a bit off on some of these. Lawrence Shankland?
No.
Callum McGregor?
No. No Calmac.
You're thinking Scottish Cup final, Motherwell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've tried to forget it. Air United 1, Hamilton Accies 1, equaliser, Ollie Shaw. On the subject of Motherwell, didn't quite get going in North Lanarkshire last season, so he's just down the Joe Carriageway from the Dazzlers flat and over to Hamilton Accies this season. He's equalised against Air United today. There's a nice early red card into the new season. Fabian Schär of Newcastle, 28 minutes into the new season.
Mind
off you,
you
go.
In League 2 down the road, how good are Crewe? They're 4-0 down at home after 28 minutes on the first day.
Jordan White has the ball in the net, I think, for Ross County, but offside. That goal won't stand and it stays goalless. So it's goalless in most of our cup ties. The only one that we do have a breakthrough is that Dundee Airdrie game. It was Seb Palmer Holden for Tony Docherty's side.
In the passing, how good a job has Tony Docherty done? I mean, he gets them promotion. They start with a derby draw at Tannadice and then good win last weekend, and now possibly one foot in the next round of the cup.
I thought they might struggle a bit this year as well. I thought, you know, that first season in the top flight and everything's fresh for Tony, and he made some good signings and Beck was there and there was a lot of talk about them, and they lost a lot of those players. He's brought a good few in and gotta say they're looking good again.
Do you think, as a former Celtic player, Luke McCowan could make the move from Dundee to Celtic?
No. Right. I don't.
Have a think about it before you answer.
I know. The boy's a good player, there's no doubt about it. But we said a couple of weeks ago, when his name came up, that the competition for places within that area where he is too great for him to go in and disturb, I think.
Is the counter to that, those who are suggesting it, do they clearly feel that, yes, he's definitely below that first three, obviously, and he's below Paolo Bernardo, but thereafter, is he a more reliable, suitable option than Odin Thiago Holm or Tomoki Iwata? And therefore, when you get to that volume of games, or when you, I mean, you can make five subs, obviously, and you start getting to cup games and, you know, games off the back of European action.
Well, on the face of it, you've got to think so at the minute, because we see him playing, we see the effect he's having in this league, and we've not seen that from really Holm, maybe Kwon. But Brendan Rodgers, I don't think, needs to buy more squad players. He needs to buy players that will improve the squad, not just people who sit on the bench and come in and out here and there and play a bit part. They've got that already, so they really need to take it to the next level. And I don't think he would.
I think the boy's terrific, I really do, but I'm totally on Mark's side here. I don't think he's at that level. And I don't see that happen.
I think the clip you played last night on Super Scoreboard from Brendan Rodgers about taking £18 million and buying three players for £6 million each and turning them into £30 million players, I think Brendan Rodgers was simply saying out loud what he has said in private to Celtic before this window shuts. I think that's what he really wants. Three players of very high quality and good money.
Peterhead 1, Stranraer 0. Seb Ross with the goal there. Just on the subject of Tony Docherty and the job he's doing, it feels like results obviously are the main barometer, and that's how you judge. But it feels like even if you look a bit deeper, sometimes the things he does in games, you know, making changes, identifying what the other team does, you can see all that experience coming through, despite the fact he's an inexperienced manager on his own right. But it feels like, you know, he's it sort of in-game decision making is really good.
Well, you must take so much when you're an assistant for so long at a successful club under a good manager. There must be times that you stand there and think, when they agree with the manager there, I would have done this and I would have done that. And he's putting that into place now. He's obviously picked up a lot, but he's a fantastic coach. I had him early in my career. Then I had him at Bristol City as well, because he started at Dundee United. Very, very good coach. Very good at building relationships with players. And I think you need that now as a manager. It's not all about how you coach and what session you put on. A lot of it's about the relationship with the players. And Tony's a guy who finds that part pretty easy, I think. And I think that comes across in his team, how they play for him. But you're spot on about tactically as well. He's been spot on this season.
I like his pathway. I think he's done it the right way, and I think that's holding him in good stead. I think the fact that he went into coaching, he didn't dive into a manager's job. He went in with Derek McInnes. He learned the trade. He worked at it. He looked at it. I think he even was away with Scotland at one point.
Yeah, was he?
And then it was all about timing. He's obviously looked at Dundee. He wouldn't have just jumped into Dundee. He would have looked at Dundee and thought, yeah, that's the right fit. And so far, you've got to say, both got it right so far.
The big boys are not getting it all their own way. Mitov's had to make a save from Turner. Queen's creating one or two openings there. Similarly, pretty even in the Spartans against Ross County game. So... maybe, just maybe, we've got a shock on the cards. Well, his old pal that you mentioned, Derek McInnes, you touched on it earlier, Hugh, but what a great midweek for Kilmarnock that was.
Yeah, I mean, a grievance in football, I think, is a good thing. And Kilmarnock took, or the manager took, a grievance to Norway with him because he thought that Tromso didn't overstep the mark and become disrespectful at Rugby Park, but they left Derek in no doubt whatsoever that they thought the job was done, and they would just confirm that when they got to their own place in Norway. And I think that added to his satisfaction when Kilmarnock got the goal through Joe Wright and now go to play FC Copenhagen. It was a moment of satisfaction, no matter what Tromso say about how Kilmarnock play football.
And who knew that that result would lead to you becoming a social media sensation? Have you heard about this?
No.
So I honestly thought this was so good. I really laughed at it last night. I thought it was excellent by the Kilmarnock Twitter admin, whoever they may be. So someone named George, presumably a Tromso fan, a Norwegian football fan, tweeted Kilmarnock to say, "You are the worst playing team I have seen in my life. You get an early goal and then just stop playing football." Okay? Kilmarnock's official Twitter account then responds to that tweet, quote tweets it, with a video of you that they've somehow found from, I don't know, I think it was maybe a couple of Fridays ago, and they've responded to this angry Norwegian fan with this clip of you.
"I have two words for those who complain. Boo-hoo."
How good is that? The imagination. I need to know the process. Did they always just have this clip ready for that type of occasion? Has it just sprung to mind when they saw that? I was very happy with that. It's a good standard from Kelly's Twitter admin early in the season.
Yeah, I do have to take some consultation over my image rights.
Oh, of course.
Here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, they, I think if you, Derek McInnes says, just send an invoice over.
That's fine. I'll be right with you, Del.
You are being used to diss fans
in Norway.
In Norway.
Just imagine then, right? So, Norwegian fans tonight thinking, who's this old guy?
Who is this guy?
Who's this guy giving us it to?
You might get a few after dinner gigs, Hugh, in Norway.
There you are.
You might become famous.
Trondheim's the place for me.
I do think we could play this. We could play this regularly throughout the show. If somebody's complaining,
I have two words for those who complain. Boo-hoo.
Well, we don't need to play it. We've got a guy. We can just tap him on the shoulder something. And then he comes out with
something
it.
Funnier about playing it. I don't know why. But there we go.
Internet sensation, Hugh.
Well done again to Killy's Twitter admin.
Are you still off the Twitter, Hugh?
Yeah, for me, the novelty wore off.
How long have you been off?
Oh, just over a year. The novelty simply wore off. I mean, I listen, Gordon Duncan tells me sometimes what people say about what is said on Super Scoreboard, and you think, nah, I really couldn't be doing with that anymore.
Yeah, a lot of the sense of humour sort of dropped out of it, hasn't it?
Well, what other social media platform can we get you on?
TikTok. TikTok Todd's leaving, so TikTok Shug can take his place.
Need to upgrade that phone though, because can't get any videos on that.
You'll need to film it. As covered on the show midweek, it's been a rough week for your social media use. Because remember, we found out a few years ago the only Twitter account you follow is Katie Price.
Yeah, I like Katie.
And if you go and type her name into Twitter at the moment, you get a whole different experience. So
yeah. Don't be eating your dinner when you're doing that.
I think we need to we need to shut your Twitter down forever. Never to be seen again. And just wipe it from the face of the earth.
It's down anyway, is it not? Yeah.
No, I think it's still there.
Is it still there? I don't even know what the name is. What's the name?
It still exists. But you were saying to us during the week, actually, to not to tell secrets from behind closed doors, but you fear you actually are quite addicted to TikTok.
Oh yeah,
you're staying up all night.
Yeah, I don't know
why.
He
is like a teenager.
And the worst is that I'm into things that I never thought I'd be into.
Yeah, and it's annoying me. He's fallen for that trap. He's going to be in a Netflix documentary. He's getting his political discourse from TikTok.
Yeah,
and it's dangerous.
I'm in politics, yeah.
Some of the opinions he's coming in here with, I'm thinking, whoa, Dazzler, put TikTok away. Put it down.
I think the people want me.
You and politics would not mix.
So that's what he's getting it from. And it's
it's
a lot of disinformation.
Exactly.
On these sites.
You've got to be aware of that. See, like, people of your age, and you think that everything you're seeing on there is the truth. You've not been brought up in this internet age. You need to realise that
me you had never voted in your life.
No, I don't. But I'm starting to now think
no
that
voting, he's going
to
run. He's going to run
as a candidate.
Make Motherwell great again. Yeah, says I think
I'm telling you now.
He's got the tan already,
the
hasn't
people,
he?
The people out there would vote for me.
Look at even the way he does that with his hand.
Exactly.
He looks like a politician.
I'm a people's person. That's one thing about me. Oh. I remember where I grew up, in a big detached house with a big
No, I'm only kidding.
But he generally says he's up all night watching TikTok.
That's weird.
I can't. And do you know, I'm thinking, right, I'll get an hour 5 minutes, and before I know it's half one to quarter to two.
I'm worried that the algorithm's getting you. I think that's what it does.
Does it?
It's clever.
Do you think you can get
down
addicted
rabbit holes
to that?
No, but you go down a rabbit hole. You watch one thing, so it feeds you that same type of stuff. Then you're in an echo chamber. You're only seeing that opinion. You need to treat it with caution, Dazzler, I'm telling you.
Well,
see, after him speaking about it, I did download TikTok the other day for the first time.
Oh, you man.
At breakfast the other morning, I was 40 minutes.
It's brilliant.
I was watching videos about Kilimanjaro, that's what I was doing. But I'm slightly different.
He'll be watching entirely different videos, I suspect. Right, we're getting to that late stage in the first half. I would love to tell you about more cup goals. I can't do it, unfortunately. However, we've given them the kiss of death already. We were full of praise for Ayr United. They're losing at home to Hamilton Accies. Jamie Bird-Jonas has turned that one around. So Ayr United went in front early on, thanks to a Jamie Murphy goal. But Ollie Shaw and Jamie Bird-Jonas have Hamilton in front as we approach the break. Goalless in most of our cup games: Aberdeen Queen's Park, Falkirk Hearts, Spartans Ross County. The only goal we have is for Dundee against Airdrie. They are 1-0 up.
That's the first shock for me. We're getting near half time and then form Aberdeen haven't scored at home. I'd imagine, I think there'll be a few restless fans up there just now. But Falkirk Hearts evenly balanced, and to be fair, Spartans, You've got to have the right attitude to go to places like that and go and get a
Did you know, since we're talking about lack of goals in that fixture, remember Roger gave us the great start about Craig Gordon back in goal, played against Falkirk in 2003 and lost 4-0. Well, did you know that in 1993, how's this for a result? Falkirk 6, Hearts 0, and on the score sheet, Wishart.
No way.
Can you believe it?
Fraser Wishart.
First of May.
Hearts must have been a throw-in.
Hearts must have been poor.
My wedding anniversary, that doesn't count if it's before you're actually married, does it? But anyway, first of May, Fraser Wishart scored in a 6-0 win against Hearts.
Tell him he sent in a text to describe
the goal.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got another one of these in the cup just before the break.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Dundee 2, Airdrie 0. They're managing their way through this professionally. Are the Premiership side, and it's Jordan McGee, one of Dundee's reliable bodies, plays a number of positions, pops up with goals as well, and he's done it again 5 minutes before the break. Dundee 2, Airdrie 0. I think it was another corner that just couldn't be cleared, and there we are, into the back of the net.
Now, you said professionally, done the job professionally. Is it just me, or if Ross County went out to Spartans, that would be unprofessional? They are from our top
division.
It's not division.
Unprofessional though. Like, cup shocks happen, so then for every time a cup shock happens, the team are unprofessional.
A part time team from the bottom division.
That's what that does then, is you take all the credit away from them.
Well, I think you can only claim it's unprofessional if you find out
their
preparation's been poor. You know that a couple of the players just, you know, didn't take it seriously. If you find that out, then I would agree on
professional. Like, if they got the bonkers bus from Dingwall down before the game, just to
report. A great idea that is.
If they got that bus the way down, they'd be 4-0 up by now, let me tell you.
What a great idea. Imagine that, you win the league before your last league game, and then you go to the away fixture on the bonkers bus.
Turn up.
Everybody coming in fancy dress.
What is the bonkers bus?
Oh, you must have seen it, Hugh.
No.
Or maybe not.
It features regularly on Clyde One. Thanks for listening. George and Cassie will be delighted. It's like a party bus.
Takes
if you
the
like
kids to school.
You can get them right to school and songs. And
and then in the evening.
Has it got karaoke facilities and all that sort of stuff? Then by night, it's more for like Hindus and stuff like that.
I might hire that for my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, imagine that.
Does it not park itself up towards. You never drive past it when you're going to your Lanark golf course, no?
I'm
sure it's based somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Up near Kirlook.
The kind of Clyde side up towards Kirlook, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's where it lives.
It lives up there.
Bonkers bus.
I mean, the cleaning company, imagine that after a hen or a stag on a Sunday or something. And they've got the kids to take to school the next day.
I will not imagine it. Anyway, Fraser Wishart might be lacking goals, but it's feisty. Six bookings.
Oof.
Six bookings in the first half. Not a goal. Good save by Craig Gordon. So it was Ross McKeever, who's been a real success story for Kilmarnock. He burst past Halkett and Kingsley. He was clean through. Gordon got a touch to his low, and it goes low to his left, sorry, and it goes inches wide. So maybe Falkirk before the break. Half tight. That's very prompt for Scott Allen and his teammates. Hugh Keevans are both nil, Kilty nil. Half time whistle goes like just before quarter to four. I don't know how they've quite managed.
Everybody
that.
Bored.
I've had enough. Let's round this off while we can, Hugh.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The last five Scots to score a goal in the Scottish League Cup final. Paul Hanlon for Hibs, Sean Rooney for St Johnstone, Ryan Christie for Celtic, James Forrest for Celtic, and Michael Gardine for Ross County.
Michael Gardine. Lots of you forgot about that one, and loads of people went for Chris Commons, but Gardine was on that list. Sent off last week, was he not, for Montrose? I'm sure I saw that. But anyway, we have a first half podium that looks like this. Derek FM in third place, Charlie Bear, Theo's cousin, in second, and Mark Gall is the winner of the first half teaser. We've got a lovely Who Am I for after the break, so stay tuned, sharpen your pencil or whatever you need to do, and we'll bring you that very soon. Some goals in the English Premier League if you're interested. Newcastle 1, Southampton 0. Joe Linton with the goal just before the break there. And like I said, halftime whistles are starting to go. That Air 1 Hamilton 2 potential semi-shock on the cards there, but that is in the league. Barry Welsh says, tell Fraser Wishart it was my dad who scouted him for Motherwell. Scouting fee was involved, but not as much as you would expect. True story, says Barry Welsh.
So it's Welsh fault.
It's Mr. Welsh that we've got to blame.
Imagine scouting Wishart there. Do you know, I remember, now I played the time Fraser, I used to watch Fraser. I can never recall Fraser Wishart header in a football.
Yeah, but you don't really remember anything. You're not the best sounding board for that. You don't even remember Mark playing.
Ah, but that was different.
This guy played in the Champions League.
What was different about that?
You weren't really a household name.
I was a household name.
I was
a big deal.
Listen, if you were asking Celtic players to come along to functions, you weren't in the top 10, mate. Let me tell you that right now.
Hold on, why are you having a go at me? You were on Fraser. How did this get pivoted to me?
It was him that sort of directed.
What are you saying about Fraser?
Oh, I love Fraser.
Mr. Welsh has an eye for a player, says Fraser. Anyway, it's half time. First one to go is Roger Hanna, Dundee, Airdrie. You've got the goals as well, Roger. Maybe not, we'll go back to him. Let's go Fraser Wishart first. Fraser. What is happening here? Can they not hear me? I can hear them.
I can hear you.
Right, Roger, take it away.
Yeah, Dundee 2, Airdrie 0 at the break here at the end, and it's perfectly straightforward for Tony Doherty's top flight side against Championship opposition. They could have been ahead after just 5 minutes. Luke McCowan flashing a shot just off target. Airdrie had a brief flurry. Ben Wilson, the angle shot deflected into the arms of the recalled Dundee goalkeeper Trevor Carson after 9 minutes, but since then it's been one-way traffic. The opening goal came after 12 minutes, a corner on the left from Lyle Cameron. They couldn't clear it. Simon Murray challenged goalkeeper Kieran Wright. The ball fell to the feet of Seb Palmer-Holden and he poked it home from close range for the opener. In 19 minutes it could and possibly should have been to Scott Tiffany and Simon Murray linking to create another opening for Palmer-Holden. This time he flashed his shot over the top. Ethan Ingram then played a ball over the top a moment later. Murray clean through in the goalkeeper, but the on loan Rangers shortstopper Wright produced a terrific stop to keep the score down at 1-0. 34 minutes, another chance for Dundee. Tiffany, a great run deep from his own half. He fed the ball to Lyle Cameron. The shot was blocked and then cleared away by the Airdrie right back Dylan McDonald. It was a close range header from Tiffany in 36 minutes, somehow clawed over the top by goalkeeper Wright. But that second goal for Dundee delayed only until the 40th minute, and again a set piece that Airdrie just couldn't deal with. A corner this time in the far side, in it came to the 6 yard box, and big Jordan McGee up from centre half got his head through it. Kieran Wright got a hand to the header, he just couldn't keep it out. It looks one way traffic here at Dens. Dundee 2, Airdrie 0.
Fraser Wishart, let's try again. It's half time in that game in Falkirk. Take it away.
Yeah, it is. Falkirk 0, Hearts 0, no goals, but it's been a brilliant 45 minutes to watch. Hearts will be wondering how they're not ahead. Plenty of chances, especially in the early stages, but Nicky Hogarth has produced a number of great saves in the Falkirk goals. Only 30 seconds on the clock when Yutaro Oda cut the ball back to Liam Boyce. Good control by the striker. He found space 16 yards out, shot just past the junction of post and bar from with his left foot. He should really have scored. Dylan Tate, first in the book after only 2 minutes. His heart swarmed around the Falkirk goal. 6 minutes gone, Danda corner, headed down by Halkett Vargas. Good touch, good control, and hooked his shot from 6 yards against the bar, frantically cleared by the Falkirk defence. 2 minutes later, Vargas again, he was up again, driving a shot to the left of Hogarth. Good save by the goalkeeper. He dives well to push the ball to safety. It took 13 minutes for Falkirk to settle at all. Good move on the right. Morrison fed Oliver in the box. He got a really good touch and got his shot away, but Craig Gordon was quickly off his line to block. It was a good save by the experienced keeper. 17 minutes gone. Another great chance for Hearts. Spittle slid the ball to Oda inside the fullback. He was 1-1 with Hogarth. He took too long. Keeper did really well to spread himself to block it. It's a great save from his point of view, but Oda really should have scored. McIver and Mackey both boot as Hearts threatened to overrun Falkirk, but Falkirk having some problems back in defence, but they were a threat on the break. But around the midway, the tempo of the game just dropped. Falkirk began to look a bit more comfortable in possession. Although Hearts had lots of the ball, they didn't really have a chance until about 40 minutes when Spittle saw his left foot volley from about 6 yards, brilliantly saved by Nicky Hogarth. But that didn't stop the chances at the other end. Falkirk denied a couple of minutes later. Brilliant save by Craig Gordon. Ross McIver did brilliantly. He burst past Halkett and Kingsley. He had time to steady himself, which he did. He struck his low shot well towards the low right-hand corner. Craig Gordon somehow got a finger to the ball to tip it inches wide. There's been 6 bookings, 4 for Falkirk, 2 for Hearts. It's been feisty, but you can't take your eyes off it. More of the same, with a few goals thrown in, would do very well for us all here at the Falkirk Stadium in the second half. Half time, Falkirk 0, Hearts 0.
Lean stuff in front of goal. Let's try David Friel.
Yeah, Gordon, lean stuff here as well. Spartans 0, Ross County 0 at half time. The League Two side are more than holding their own. They've done well. Ross County have edged it in terms of possession, in terms of chances, but Spartans have had their openings. Cammy Russell playing the left wing, he's been absolutely outstanding. He's got a great left foot on him. He was unlucky with a volley. Ross Laidlaw tipped it over the end, put a free kick inches wide. Kieran Watson also volleyed wide from a set piece. So Spartans have had their chances, but Ross County, you know, you can see the quality on the ball when they do get on it and get flowing. Jordan White sliced one wide from 20 yards. He'd won offside as well. He was offside. He found some close range, but there was a flag went up and that was the right decision. Ronan Hale's also been bright. A couple of shots saved by Jack Serity. Noah Chilvers playing as number 10. He's also been pretty good. He had a really powerful shot saved just at the death before half time. So plenty to go in this game. I think Ross County will probably feel that their superior full-time fitness will show later on in the game, but Spartans can certainly be proud of their first half performance, and I'm sure they'll get that going in the second half too. Half time, Spartans 0, Ross County 0.
And finally, Dave Galloway, Aberdeen Queen's Park.
Yeah, it's 0-0 here at half-time as well, Gordon, between Aberdeen and Queen's Park. The hosts with a strong start as they took a firm grip of the game. Nice build-up play gave Nicky Devlin a chance, but his effort from a tight angle was blocked by Callum Ferry. And Jack McKenzie's shot was cleared away from goal by Cammy Kerr. Aberdeen knocking the ball about well, but Queen's Park really should have taken a shot lead. And Jack Milne's mistake was intercepted by Dom Thomas. He squared for Zach Rudden, but Milne did very well to get back and block Rudden's shot. A glaring miss though. Gavin Molloy headed straight at the keeper from a set piece as the Dons continued to dominate. The Spiders though created one or two openings themselves, and Jack Turner tested Dimitar Mitov with a 16 yard drive. However, the home side came close when Jack Milne crossed for Papi Gay. His header was brilliantly turned behind for a corner by Callum Ferry, and the keeper had his palm stung by McKenzie's powerful shot. The Dons well in control, and surely goals will come after the interval. But at half-time, it's Aberdeen 0, Queen's Park 0.
And we'll do a full round-up of those half-time scores next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.